sit beside me now and watch with me. Take your time, remember what you see. A reality show, not on TV. So watch and listen carefully. A movie star, not on TV, but the cameras always follow me. A movie star, not on TV. You know me before me. You know me before me.
Welcome to Comic Pop Library Movie Special, Transformers Dark of the Moon. I'm Richard Brookman, along with Michelle, Logan, and April again, and we've just recently watched Transformers movie, where the synopsis of the movie is the moon landing at the beginning of the show is actually a cover-up from a Transformers ship crashing on the moon, and astronauts kind of hiding the fact that it's up there, and technology-wise, and hiding it, and the Russians also spying on it as well. Then they fast-forward to the current timeline of the Transformer movie, and we get back into the Sam Witwicky storyline with Optimus Prime and his band of Transformers, the Autobots. The main concept of the story is they believe the Decepticons are no longer around. The Autobots are helping the U.S. military protect the Earth, since they adopted the Earth as their home from terrorist organizations. And then throughout all the mechanisms, they find the Decepticons are back. Optimus Prime finds out about the hidden Transformer technology. And then, of course, the final battle ensues. And that's it in a very brief nutshell. That could be a lot longer, but we'll keep it at that. On the whole, did anybody have a character that stood out?
Dutch.
Yeah, the butler.
It wasn't a butler, per se. It was like a German shepherd.
Yep. And of course, Dutch is the assistant to the former Section 7... Section 7 agent, Seymour Siemens is his name. And he was a German descendant, we believe. He's a big character that played in Firefly.
And Dodgeball.
And on Dodgeball and several other movies. He's kind of a character actor. He can be very serious and very comedic. Really lent well to that role of his character.
Yeah.
His best part was, too, when they were in that Russian bar and everyone was pulling guns and he didn't have one. He was like looking around and he like knocked out the old chick behind the bar, took her gun, pulled out a gun from his pocket or jacket sleeve and was like about to shoot people.
They had to call him down.
Yeah.
What's
that dude's name?
Seymour.
Seymour. He was like, one of the military guys was like, control Dutch. Like, control your dog. He's like, Dutch, it's good, it's fine. And he, like, spoke to him, like, German, I think. And Dutch dropped the gun and said, I'm sorry, that was old me.
Yeah. He said something about the war being over, Seymour did, to calm him down.
And they had this nice car, and they were driving down the highway. The,
Decepticons?
Decepticons, I was thinking Megatron. The Decepticons, like, came and got him. And Dutch was driving, and he, like, crashed the car, and I think Seymour was, like, knocked out or something. He was like, I am so fired.
Yeah.
So you can kind of see how a big character can kind of steal scenes from some of the main characters. But what about the main characters? Any of them that you thought did well? Or let's start with the Sam Witwicky character.
Sam was the same as he's always been.
Hey, he actually defeated a Transformer and another human.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's how he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever taken down a Transformer before.
I can't remember the other two movies. But I know he's kind of the everyman character. Just falls into it. He's not definitely not the action lead by any means.
He turns into it at the end, but
in a way.
He does.
A little bit.
No skills. A skill
boost. He gets a skill boost near the end. Not much, but a bit.
Okay, what was his skill boost?
Walking.
Walking? He's kind of a hapless character.
He got from the place to the place. And he also got a bit of an aiming boost as well, but that was earlier.
He, from that old Transformer, that looks like Benjamin Franklin. They got these
boomsticks.
Yeah, they look like big brass knuckles, but like one of them, like you put it on your arms and you like aim it and it shoots.
That wasn't the boomstick. That was a grappling hook.
Yeah, and it shot into the dude's eye, and then it was the boomstick. Okay, and then he got the boomstick, and it was actually a bomb that he stuck in the other
eye.
Autobot's eye, and then like
Decepticon. Autobots are the good guys.
All right. Robots. And then they like dropped and he blew up.
What about his girlfriend? This was a different person playing the girlfriend this time.
She was cool, but her accent was like really fake to me.
Carly, I think she's, I don't know if she's actually English or not.
I don't know, but it sounds super, super, super fake. Like fake.
She was sweet and scaredy cat.
I know, right? It was and like, she got, dude, come on.
And she got to see what everything was doing. She even had a little telescope.
I didn't like how she started dating him because he was so interesting and everything, and all his stories. And then when he actually brought, like, Bumblebee, and then he had Seymour and all of them come into the house, and they were actually doing something, she, like, freaked out and practically broke up with him. And I was like, are you serious?
True.
But she had lost her father and a brother because of military action.
I thought
that's why she didn't want to.
I know for sure the brother. I can't remember about the father.
Yeah, that's why she didn't want him to go into fighting.
I don't care. It was bumpy either way.
To me, the weirdest thing is they said the past girlfriend, who was played by Megan Fox, can't remember her name, broke up with him. I was kind of wanting a more normal-looking person to be the girlfriend, not another
supermodel.
Supermodel. Because it's like, with him really being the klutz that he is,
that's kind of... How do you get those girls?
Right.
You can't replace Megan. You can't replace Megan Fox with your normal, everyday friend. It's got to be a supermodel.
Well, for the sex appeal, yes, but for the character, you would think he would get a regular person.
I'd say they can be hot, but they can still be regular.
Yeah.
You're saying
but she was
hot?
Her attitude was regular. She didn't care about the money or per se. She enjoyed him.
Was stuck up though.
True, but the way they shot her in a lot of the scenes, you knew what she was there for.
Wham shot.
Yes.
I remember I was admiring her, or at least a stunt double or something, because all those fight scenes and everything, I noticed that she was wearing heels and running.
True.
I was like, dang.
She did pretty good with the action sequences, and I thought her acting was decently done. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, but her character was wimpy throughout all of it until the last bit when she stands up to
Megatron
and tricks him.
Yep.
True.
Well, she was kind of telling the truth, because that probably would have happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was going to go along with him until she
tricked him with the truth.
True.
Do you remember the rabbit's foot? That was odd.
That was funny.
Yeah.
Totally cheesy.
What about the military leader, the colonel? Let's see, what was his name?
No, the guy the second movie.
From all three movies.
All three movies.
He was the leader. He's now a colonel. To me, he was underutilized. He did not come up with the ideas. In the previous movies, he kind of did his own thing sometimes against the wishes of the authority figures. In this one, he was more of a kowtower, or however you want to call it. He kowtowed to the people in authority instead of taking chances and going out on his own and telling them, no, we need to listen.
Mm-hmm. I think
that was more of Sam's thing.
Yeah, I think it was
like, I don't give a crap who you are. I just need you to know this and treat me with some respect.
Yeah, and he's the one that found out about the Decepticons being back anyways, if he had a bit of help.
That Asian dude, awesome. I swear, he was on The Hangover.
And we're talking back about Sam now. Not the colonel.
Yeah.
Who is the Asian dude?
I don't know.
In the office wing.
Weird name.
He was really weird.
I don't know his real name, but if you watch the MTV Music Awards, he was on there in a skimpy tiger suit playing the piano. And then I believe he's on The Hangover Part 2, if I'm thinking right. I don't know, though.
I'm not sure.
Asian people look alike.
Back to the military, the colonel who's been in all three movies, Sam even went around him and ended up with the other guy who was working on the platform.
Right, and I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
But then they went back to the hood to get all their fellows, and that's how they were taking care of it.
Going back to the hood. Mom's going back to the hood.
I like those guys, especially that guy that was supposed to shoot down Tower, and who was like, I don't care for that, I'm already having a heart attack. And then he got in trouble because he was supposed to watch Sam and his girlfriend, but they like slipped through, and they just did their, Sam and his girlfriend was doing their own thing, and the one dude was like asking them where they were. He's like, man, I don't know. He's like, the guy like yelling at him, like, I'll give you one thing to do, and you screw that up. He's like, you got stuff on down around me, you got big robots shooting at us, and you think I can keep track of two brats? And I'm like, that is so true.
Yeah.
Well, that's primarily most of the human cast. What about the Transformers themselves? Let's start with the big cheese Optimus Prime.
He is getting kind of cheesy.
To me, he was a lot weaker in this movie than he was in some of the other shows, especially at the end of the battle. He got beat up pretty good. He was out of the battle for a lot of it.
I know. I was like, because there was like, there's stuff going on, and I was wondering, like, where the crap Optimus? Like, what's he doing?
And the best scene I liked of him was when they found about the Americans hiding the towers.
The technology,
And he hit the floor saying, you lied to us, and the way that was portrayed in the trailers. You know, I thought he was going to, you know, basically, not necessarily turn, but he wasn't going to be nice and fall in line with the government anymore. They broke Optimus off on his own, and he quickly changed. So.
It's Optimus. He has to fall in line. But I kind of liked it before he started yelling at them because he was quiet, and that Colonel was like, what is this, the silent treatment? And that one of the Autobots was like, no, we've seen the silent treatment. This is worse. And he's like, Optimus, make something of yourself. And he, like, hit him in the back. Or, he was still in truck form, and he hit the hood of the truck. And Optimus started shifting, and the dude that hit him was like, oh, man, he's pissed.
That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I thought Megatron was pretty much...
I felt bad for him.
A has-been.
True.
In the way he dressed and the fact that he had half a head and...
You would think they would repair him.
Yeah. They were trying.
But I thought that was one of the little things we're supposed
but
to
do. But he kept picking them out and squashing
them. That's because he was annoyed by them.
But I'm wondering if the other Decepticons made it that way because they didn't want him to come back into power. Mm-hmm. It's kind of that all stories kind of do. The leader's always being looked on and want to be replaced by the lower individuals, so maybe that was purposely done to Decepticons so he wouldn't become strong again. Possibility, but it was never really explained. But yeah, he was a weak character in this one too.
He had kids.
I felt really bad for him because he was still kind of twisted with the way he was thinking, but
he was actually being a fairly good guy at the end.
Yeah,
he was.
Because
then Optimus Prime ripped his head off.
Because Sam's girlfriend gave him a sat down and started talking to him about Sentinel, like, gonna take over if they got this through. And then he was like, oh, and then he went off and killed Sentinel with Optimus. And then Optimus, he knocked him pretty hard. Oh. And then he was, like, basically trying to strike a deal with Optimus, which I don't think is the best thing. But then Optimus just killed him. And I was like, that's super sad.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about him, the Sentinel character, he was one of the robots on the moon in the spacecraft. That they brought back down to Earth, and he was the Prime before Optimus. He was played by Leonard Nimoy, which was alright, but in one of the scenes there was a blatant Star Trek reference, which I thought was a little cheesy.
The whole thing was halfway cheesy.
Well, true, but...
But the cheesy made it good.
Some of the cheesy stuff that was fun and humorous was fun. I mean, the Dutch character... The Wing character was a little bit too over the top for me.
For which one?
Seymour's character was toned down from the last ones, I think.
I
liked that character better in this movie than the previous two.
I liked it when Seymour first got Sam's call, and, like, he was, like, addicted to that stuff, and he was like trying to stop it. He's like, dude, you can't come talking to me about this. I just got off a 12-step program and everything. And he was like, okay, don't go back into your ways. Don't go back to your ways. And he's like, so what is this about? And he told him, and he's like, meet me.
Go ahead.
I like Sentinel when they first found him. He was kind of gray, looked like he'd been abandoned, but towards the end, I couldn't tell Sentinel and Optimus apart.
He had those little...
He was red.
Yeah, but you had to get a close-up on his face to see his suits.
It was real red.
From the other movies, I was able to tell the different robots better in this one than the other two. And I was able to, the way I was able to tell the two apart was Sentinel was red and Optimus had the blue and red.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that didn't bother me near as much. But I can see where it could, I mean, this is definitely one of those movies where the robots to a large degree are indistinguishable when they're fighting each other.
Yeah, it's like it's one tangle of robot.
And Optimus got a jet plane.
Through at the end.
The Decepticons didn't have much color.
No.
Well, that's how you tell, because the Autobots were like colorful and had their personalities and everything. The Decepticons were like murky. I think
there weren't that many.
Right. Not at the beginning. Towards the end, there was
then,
a ton.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Like somebody pointed out in the movie, like the Decepticons get all the good stuff, and the Autobots get like a few people. They had a lot more than they did first.
True.
But still, pretty sad.
Bumblebee, he was pretty much the same as in all the other two movies.
Yep.
He was still a pretty decent character.
Hey, he was maturing. Did
no,
you
he
see
wasn't.
Him and his buddy after the battle scene?
He started playing wedding music and took out all his gears as wedding rings.
That's not the scene I'm talking about. I mean, after the battle scene when he and his buddy stood side by side and his big buddy said, good job. Or
that you fought valiantly or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's always been known as a good warrior, though.
Yeah,
he's been looked on as the teenager.
Mm-hmm. Teenager or the young rookie.
Yeah, that's his character.
But I think the funnest deal with him for me was when he was on the highway with the Decepticons chasing him, and Sam was in with him, and jumped into there and transformed into robot mode, and Sam's flying, and
then
grabs him and transforms back into car mode, and then Sam's screaming
Sam's,
like a girl.
He's right on the
Sam's screaming while flying in the air, and then he's still in the seat. He's in the seat again, and he's still screaming.
Well, I thought he was stuck on the hood after that.
No, he was in the seat.
But that's Sam being human and non-military. They definitely tried to make Sam apart from the military.
Yes, he is.
After a while,
we haven't talked about the chick that was in charge.
The info gal.
The bureaucrat.
I hated her.
I think
she was so stuck up.
She played
she
her
played
part
her
well.
Yeah, she played her part well, but her part, I just...
She actually thought she could order the Transformers.
Well, to a degree, she was supposed to be able to, but if they ever decided not to obey, there's not much they can do.
They're big robots. What are you going to do? To him, arrest him.
Yep, that was her role. She was there to hate by everybody. And I can't remember the names of them, but the two little dudes that were with Sam.
Yeah. They were so cute. I liked that one with the blue hair.
Reminds me of the puppet from
Muppets.
What's his name?
Oh.
The puppeteer that you guys like so much.
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham.
The peanut,
yeah.
His hair's kind of the same, but it's blue, and he has a lot more of it. But whenever I saw him, I noticed that he had steam or, like, smoke coming out of him. And then, and then at one part, he, like, jumped up, and he made a reference about smoking. I'm like, are you serious? I had no clue Autobots could smoke. Now they can.
And one of them was the brains. One of them said that while they were taking down the ship.
In the very final scene
in
Chicago, they got onto a gunship basically and flew up to one of the bigger base ships.
The main one.
They wrecked it.
They wrecked the base ship.
They said it was in the control panel system of it, basically the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the blue one was like, man, we're going to screw this plane up. I'm like, heck yeah.
I'm glad they put that in. Otherwise, I wondered why they had the little guys in there in the first place.
For the humor.
But do you remember the last movie, the two Autobombs? Is it
the
twins?
The
Autobots.
Twins. The Autobots. Those two,
they
and these
there.
Two were kind of the same
the
characters.
That's different.
I think the two from the last movie were better
them because they were ice cream trucks. I mean, seriously.
True.
That's what I loved about them.
Michael Bay, who was the director of the film, caught a lot of flack because of those two characters because they were depicted as being more Afro-American and racist in how they spoke, so that's why they weren't back in this movie. So that's the reason behind that.
How would they be African-American? They are robots.
Just the way people are viewed and the characteristics he gave them were African-American.
The new ones.
In speech and tone and everything.
They did great.
The new ones, one sounded Scottish. One
that
of
was
them
the Wreckers. That was the Wreckers with the space shuttle ship. whatever that were manning that. Uh-huh. Those were the Scottish ones.
So. Sam, yeah, the other one was Scottish too?
Okay, because
I picked out the accent in the taller one, but I couldn't pick it out in the red one. I knew he had an accent, but...
What did you think of their parents, Sam's parents?
Huh? They had a lot lesser role in this one than in the other ones.
I don't know what happened to their chihuahua.
True, they didn't have a chihuahua in this one.
But they had those green outfits.
Yeah,
it was Star Trek. They were Star Trek pajamas, which is so sad because...
I think they were just track suits.
The mini robots were watching Star Trek on TV, and then Sam went outside and his parents were there, and they, in a close-up of them, I saw the little Star Trek ship.
Okay, there. I missed that
one. I was like, are you serious? This is the cheesiest thing of Star Trek ever.
So they're
obsessed with it.
Part of what Transformers is about is the action with the cheesiness and the kind of a unique blend all of itself.
I'd like to thank one of our sponsors at this time, Music Alley from Mivio. Check it out at music.mivio.com. That is MUSIC.MEVIO.com. Or you can go to our site, Comic Pop Library, for links to Music Alley and our reference links located within our left navigation bar. And now, back to the show.
What about how you saw, was 2 hours and 40 minutes enough time to tell this story?
Yeah,
when they
didn't give you what happened to the little guys after their ship crashed, because it didn't blow up, it landed in the water.
Yeah, they did leave that a little dangling, true.
I was pretty much expecting them to do something big, because I bet without them they'd have a lot tougher time.
And the way it ended, you kind of felt like, you know, it's going to end with the trilogy. I didn't feel like there was going to be a fourth one at the end of this one.
Megatron's
is a third one. This one
definitely
is third one.
Dead.
Sentinel's dead.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking. It's like there's only so many things you can come up with, and it's basically all remotely the same thing, just different.
How did you like his car?
That
was fun. It even had the Bumblebee.
Yeah, I noticed that he put in Bumblebee. Yeah, his whatever that you hang off the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
He put in Bumblebee in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that. It was a cute one. But he called it a classic?
Yeah,
collector's item.
That's a little boy trying to hold on to his pride.
Because he was like freaking out because he first saw the vulture type Decepticon.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like a vulture, and he was going in to tell Nest about it, and he was trying. He was like yelling at the people at the gate to let him through, and they're like, "Are you stupid or something?"
And they crunched. They flipped.
He started
his car,
driving forward, and his car, two walls went up, and his car got flipped upwards, and he was like, "Bumblebee, get your butt over here!" And Bumblebee came, and Bumblebee took him there, and they were getting in the elbow, and he's like, "You were paying me for a new car. That was a collector's item." I'm like, wow.
True. What about the locations? We had the D.C. area. D.C. area was primarily one of the areas.
Looked like New York. She went to...
Chicago.
Well, Chicago was at the very end, which was Chicago. Then we went to Chernobyl, which was supposedly in Russia, the military nest group.
I thought that was just a Russian bar.
That was a Russian bar, but I'm talking about Chernobyl, where the military...
He's talking about the time where they got where they found the engine the first time. Remember?
Mm-hmm. That was in Ukraine.
Yeah, in Chernobyl. That's where they had the nuclear accident.
You said Russia.
Well, I'm using Russia as the... I don't know what specific country it was.
Part of
but
Yugo.
I'm using Sofia. Russia to cover all of it.
They broke up, though.
But you that accident, the in Chernobyl, they did have a radiation accident, so it was major.
And what they were talking about with the radiation in the ground, it's true. There's going to be several thousands of years before people can actually get back in there.
Different reason.
Yeah, they did that with the moon landing and moonwalk and stuff like that. So they use bits of history to
weave
through the story, which a lot of movies have started to do. One of the things that I kind of found odd that with the nest, as April's alluded to, was the U.S. military group that worked with the Autobots. They did not have weaponry sufficient enough to take out the Transformers.
Well, until the end.
Well, they had the same weaponry. But you would expect,
you know, even though we're allies with England, there's contingency plans that if something happens, we need to take over England, they're there. You know, if England should fall or England should choose a side that we're not against and it's the European theater, we need that as a base of operations, so we have plans to go in and take that over. You always have contingencies for different happenings, even against your allies. This is the same thing. Like I said earlier, when Optimus Prime hit the ground and said, "You lied to us," and if he would have went off on his own, how would they rein him in? You would think that the military would make some weapons, even in secret, even to be able to handle these robots if something should go awry. But it seems like they didn't. They had the same military type weapons as conventional military men would.
Yeah, but the bombs did somewhat well.
At the end.
Yeah, the bigger ordnance, yes, does help, but a lot of them are still firing rifles and stuff like that.
And machine guns and all that.
What?
Yeah, that's not very smart.
What?
Doesn't really do anything.
True.
What or who took out the main thing? The thing that was in the corner of the building?
Sam and Bumblebee.
I never actually saw what took it out.
Sam was trying to get, I don't know what his name was, but a human that was like teamed up with Megatron and all them.
That was Dylan, Darren, something.
Okay. Something like that. But he went and he was like trying to activate it, and Sam was like stopping him, and they were like fighting over the rubble.
He managed to activate it,
and then Sam hit him in the head with the pole.
Yeah, I think it had
concrete
a school
around it.
And then Sam never tried to do anything after that.
I was like, Sam, come on.
Autobots came in and started firing at it, and Bumblebee,
took
it out by crushing
it. I was like, come on, Sam.
Because they were trying to bring the Transformers homeworld Cybertron into our world at the very end.
And we forgot to talk about Sam's first job.
In the mail room.
Yeah. Yes, but it was the coolest place ever. They had the weirdest, but I remember he was going for the interview, and they were on the yellow floor, and the chick
had a red cup.
A red mug for, like, coffee or something, and it was, like, he, like, called someone, it was the mailroom dude, I think, it was an uptight guy, and he was, like, take care of it, and then he, like, came around with a trash can and picked it up, said something bad, and he threw it away and kept walking, and she started crying, and then she, like, ran out of the room. Crying. I'm like, really?
That's because his supervisor was real cheesy, and that's where some of that cheese whiz comes in again.
That supervisor was cool. I think that could shake pride over nothing. It's like it's a mug.
And one of the big characters that we haven't talked about, going back to the scene we were talking about, the battle, was Shockwave, and he kind of had a construct that was like a giant metallic
worm.
There was a worm thing in the second one.
Yeah.
First. I remember.
That's how they were introduced in the...
Not sure about the first, but I know there was a second one.
It might be. I can't remember, though.
They were introduced in the second movie to the military guy at the desert, in the desert.
Yeah.
By a worm-like
the
Decepticon.
The first one didn't have the desert.
I don't know if it was the second or first one, but yeah.
Both the first and second one ended up in the desert, and ended up in the desert.
Yeah. So
this one tied it into those movies.
And then I thought the biggest... I don't know if they meant it like this, but they had some Decepticons go after them while they were on the highway driving. And when they shifted and, like, transformed, they looked a lot like the Predator and Alien.
I remember those now.
Was it the Predator?
Like the Predators.
The Predator with, like, the kind of like the Jamaican hairstyle. And it looks so much like it. I'm like, I don't know if they meant that, but that's what I think of when I see them. And I was like, dang.
Definitely knew where the marketing was at. I don't know how much they had to pay to get the products in, but all the computer hardware, if you looked and noticed, was all Cisco. And then one of the Autobots was a red, basically kind of like a NASCAR, and had the Target emblem on the hood for the Target store.
I saw that. I'm like, dang, that's not the best thing you need on your belly when. And I liked it because he was short and like
when he transformed, fluffy. He was cool looking. He was solid red and kind of had like scythes on his arms.
But he was short and fluffy.
What are scythes?
That's the coolest thing.
Like blades.
Blades. Thank you.
It was really cool because like his friend, the green one, was like tall and leaner, and then he was really short with targets on his belly, and he was like kind of Fluffy. I was like, aww.
And I liked them. I was kind of expecting Bumblebee to come out looking like them in the final battle, because when they came out, they had all the weapons sticking out. But Bumblebee still did, and he just kind of still looked like himself. Yep, yeah. He's a Bumblebee.
He just had the one arm weapon.
But I remember they were on the rocket where they were going to send the Autobots up back into space, and they was on the base, and that's where they were introduced. And he was like, well, why haven't I met them like before? Like, why haven't they been off the space? And she's like, it's because they're something, but you'd have to watch the movie, because I don't know if you can say that on air, but oh. I don't know.
Shitheads?
No.
Okay.
They were, she didn't call them that.
Assholes?
Yes.
I'll help you out there.
Well, I don't know if I can say it, and I don't know if we can say it on recording. So you're getting put in jail.
Take me away.
Get arrested.
You can say that, but you can say it on in the internet at this point in time. Okay. They don't have internet police yet.
Oh my gosh.
You just have parents that you have to answer to afterwards.
You haven't been on Facebook, have you?
Guess not.
God, parents are worse than...
But the story, to me, unless, is there anything else you want to discuss before we go on to some of the other things?
The battle scenes.
We did that. Oh, the building they were in?
I put the battle scenes as... We watched this in 3D.
Yeah, I don't notice 3D. I'm sorry.
Oh, I did.
It looks the exact same to me.
Not to me.
I don't like 3D.
I didn't like the 3D when it was just people standing there and they kind of stood out a little bit, but in the battle scenes, that was cool.
I couldn't tell a difference. I was like, it just looks like a normal movie to me.
The only reason they've done 3D, I think, is because that's something you can't get at home.
It's to make sure you...
trying to get
like
you back to
the
theaters.
And they seriously were in a big glass building because it was across from the columned building where they were supposed to shoot at it, and they were there on the floors, and
Decepticons
like,
started
shooting at it, and so it was leaning, and then they blew out the window, and because it was leaning, they were sliding down the glass, and then like they had no clue what to do. And then they were like, shoot the glass, and they shot the glass beneath them, and they dropped into the next floor. And I was like, that's super cool. And then the worm-type Decepticon,
Shockwave,
he's like started winding it around the building and crushing it. And it
like
went,
a snake.
And it went sideways, like literally sideways, and the top landed on another building, so it was a sideways building. And they were like sideways. I'm like, that's just cool.
Yeah.
True, I think they gave Shockwave too many tentacles. The last time in the desert, they didn't have quite so many tentacles. This time, you couldn't really see the battle scenes with him.
Are you talking about Shockwave or the Shockwave's pet?
They were part of Shockwave. Yeah. It's kind of like a vehicle for him.
I thought they were his pets.
Yeah. Kind of like how the Decepticons were in the gunships and flying them around.
That's kind
this of was basically things. Shockwave's extensions of himself, mm-hmm. and he was controlling them.
I thought they were like Laserbeak.
No. Didn't he remind you of an asteroid in Star Wars where they flew the ship and came out?
I was actually thinking about an old movie called Tremors.
Yeah. Or Burns.
Kevin Bacon and Reba McEntire. Yeah.
Wait, is that with the snake kind of...
It's with the worms.
And she was in the tub and it fell in the tub?
I don't remember that.
Okay, back to this one.
There's a movie about that, I remember.
Well, but to me, the battle scenes I enjoyed, but to a degree they also didn't do anything.
They were too busy, you couldn't really see them.
Because it was like what the humans were doing, it was kind of like running all over the place and shooting the rifles, which had no effects.
Until they
flew
going for the eyes.
With the... And it was cool looking, I'll give it that much. And the glider suits were cool and kind of neat to look at.
I like the glider suits.
And the rifles did work whenever they hit their eyes.
But
true.
They didn't know that at the time until they told them.
And their feet. Don't forget, they took out their feet and their eyes.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Feet with bombs, eyes with rifles.
Yeah, they blinded them and then they, like, bombed them, yeah. That was a really good strategy,
But I enjoyed the battle scenes. It was just chaos, pretty much. And
that's
I
what I like.
Assume that's probably what a battle scene would be like, because I've never been in one to know.
Mm-hmm. I want to know what happened to all the people of the city.
They died.
A lot of them just disintegrated.
Yeah. Well, no, but there were still... But, you know, the Decepticons came in, and they were shooting everybody.
Yeah.
But you know how it is. You can't...
We saw a small group when they were going in.
It's like trying to kill cockroaches. You can't get them all.
But
they were all gone.
Well, they probably were hiding under a rock or something. I wouldn't be out in the open.
If they were the one...
Like, hey, shoot me.
Yeah.
But
if
you
they...
didn't...
Mom, if they were the ones that they couldn't kill, that would be because they didn't know where they were, so they would be in hiding.
But you didn't even see any dead bodies.
That's because
they disintegrated them.
You saw them while they were getting killed.
You saw the skull, didn't you?
But that was
primarily they pretty much obliterated them with their shots.
Yeah.
So.
A few bones here and there, but they evaporated the blood.
With the battles, with the robots. Like I said earlier, to me, Optimus Prime was kind of a weak individual in this one. He got his arm ripped off and tangled up in wires for a large part of the battle. But to me, really, these were kind of brutal scenes with robots.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was humans that this was happening to, this would have been a rated R movie. But because they were robots getting shot.
That might be racist. You might have just made racist
facts. Being shot in the head, being decapitated.
Being pulled apart.
Yeah. They showed kind of like transmission fluid or whatever. They showed that coming out, so it kind of looked like blood.
No, it looked like blood. I'm like, cool.
So it's like, you know, if this was humans, this was all going to do, it would have been rated R.
That's like a racist.
It's not racist.
Which one was better, this one or the one before it?
I don't remember the one before it.
I remember it's
the one before.
I just like the one I watched.
I'd have to rewatch other ones to know for sure.
I remember the first one the most. But
I did enjoy the battle scenes in this one more than the others, I believe.
Yep.
There was more to it.
I liked this one a lot better because of Dutch and
you
all
the
humor and the cheesiness of it. I love that.
Optimus Prime got beat even worse in the second one because if I remember correctly, he had to be resurrected.
Yeah, I think so.
And he got a big power.
For being such
a
powerful Autobot, he was kind of wimpy.
No, it was some dagger thing. The cube was in the first one.
Dagger thing with the golden...
The leadership.
Yeah.
It's basically like a badge that says, hey, I'm leader, listen to me.
Yeah.
It can like bring any robot to life. But
that's right, he got almost killed in the first one,
in the first
too.
One, he was basically dead. And then that cube they put in him. He was alive.
So this movie was the first time he didn't pretty much die.
He's basically living on crack.
Why didn't Sentinel Prime
Sentinel
is something about seasons.
We'll have to check that out later.
It's Sentinel.
Why didn't he take the leadership back? You think he felt guilty?
Well, yeah.
Not really.
Well, one of the things we've not mentioned about part of the plot was Sentinel was Prime before Optimus. And midway through the movie, it was shown that he was actually in cahoots with Megatron and defected to the Decepticons.
He figured that to win the war, you kind of have to go with the enemy. But
he was pretty sure they were going to lose the war, actually.
You know.
True.
He was just cutting his losses.
You know, with him being Prime and then Optimus being Prime, they are the same size.
Yeah.
But roughly. Yeah. But then, well, I mean, all of them, those aren't Prime, are like a little small comparison.
That depends.
So, I'm wondering, like, if you're a Prime, do you just get bigger like a Mario? You eat a mushroom and you grow?
Our Bumblebee can't ever be Prime?
Can be Prime.
I don't know.
Could possibly.
I'm not that versed in the Transformers lore. So I have not watched all of the cartoons by any means.
They're cartoons?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
A lot of cartoons.
Oh.
And, of course, this is a toy line that was spawned in Japan. So that's where the concept for Transformers came from.
And if I remember correctly, there were other worlds in the Transformers universe, so they could try and get one of those for a fourth movie.
Possibly, but like I said earlier, the way this one ended, it felt like this was going to be it. If they did it another movie, they'd either start again from scratch, like they do with a lot of the properties anymore, or they might do a continuation, like Logan said. It's possible. I don't know.
They'd have to use different.
Kind of hard to figure out what the storyline would be, though.
Kind of like Puff the Magic Dragon when little Jackie Paper dies.
Okay. Puff the Magic Dragon.
the Transformers are left without their human buddy.
Oh, okay. That has nothing to do with this, and nobody knows about that.
And the human
guy. You're the one saying crack.
But people know about crack.
The magic dragon is supposed to be an allusion to marijuana.
Marty.
It was not, only to your mind.
Because,
and other people.
When I was little, I had this favorite song called, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I was a
Dad
pothead. Because
Dad, you just took Puff the Magic Dragon and made him into a bat.
These like kids
shame
songs,
on you.
These kid songs on disc.
It's
that
what
we
the
to.
Individual puts into it.
Well,
makes
and
it
I wonder where your
not.
Brain was.
And on one, there's a song Puff the Magic Dragon, which is my favorite. And I'm figuring out I was a future pothead. I'm not a pothead yet, though. So
that's why views are. That's just what I read of other people's views of that, whether it's actually
well, that
what
didn't
it was
have anything
for.
To go with what I was saying.
Well, I was relating them back to April kept saying their Optimus was on crack.
She only said it once.
They put a lot of stuff
okay,
in there.
A few times. So, did you guys like it?
Yeah.
If you would, you know, we'll go around the table. Did you like it? Who would you think it's for? We'll start with Logan. Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good.
You think other teenagers or younger or guys my age would like it in general?
Yeah, got the action of it.
Got the action in it.
I liked it. It was okay. The cheesy was at times over the top, but it's a good show. That's it.
Okay, April.
Well, I'm going to probably say this about basically almost all the movies.
For a girl, probably.
We watch. For a girl. Yeah, probably not. For a girl. But, like, if you're on a date with the guy or with your family.
This would be a good one for a date.
Sure.
For a date movie.
With
but
the guy. Uh-huh. Dude, did you see how many couples went to see that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's more
but
of a...
But there are girls that like sci-fi comics, too. That's why I said, in general, I agree with April, yes. But there are...
Yeah.
This is the perfect date movie because did you see how he and his girlfriend react and such and how he has to come back to her?
So?
And how his parents got
to
together
and
how they totally embarrassed
let
him
know that the wife's always right.
It's a perfect date movie.
Honestly, I don't think that made a date movie. I don't care.
But did you hear the girl behind us a couple of times? She must have been a sci-fi
buff. She
kept
laughing. She was.
She was enjoying it. I was surprised.
And did you notice how they had fun? You don't ever let me have fun.
You could tell with how she was just and everything.
I can't help you, dear
moms. It was all black, a baggy shirt, and cut short black hair.
Huh?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Behind us? Yeah, this is getting editing
like.
Out.
And then she was just
but seriously, she never left.
What?
You actually looked behind you to figure out what
no,
the guy
when
laughing
they were
was.
Walking up.
But okay. She had fun. The young lady had fun with it. You could tell that she was a sci-fi buff. To me, as a general audience, I kind of agree with April and Michelle. And Logan to a degree. It's an action flick. It's one you're not going to want to think about. Just go in and sit and have fun. And that's what the majority of these movies are for. They're not there to win Oscars. They're just there to make money and give people an escapist movie to go to get rid of the hoodrums of the day-to-day life. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the cheesiness of it. Like Michelle said, there's some of it that made me roll the eyes. And, but then there was other parts of it, like with Dutch, that truly had you laughing. So.
That
Mom,
Russian...
I liked
that
the way...
That whole character...
Was awesome.
Was odd. Not Dutch, the one guy.
I know, Wayne. He was awesome.
The giant,
he was odd.
Awesome.
I don't know if he's Asian
Wayne.
Or
Wayne. Yes, that was his name.
Well, that's our views of Transformers Dark of the Moon. Appreciate everyone listening in again this time to us, Rant and Ramble. Hope you enjoyed it. Everybody, have a good evening. We'll see you on the next trip.
Bye. Mm-hmm.
And we never mentioned the Evil Scorpion Watch. Bye.
Reruns play now on Channel 3. And you watch just alike. It's MTV. The new episode is following. And you sit and wait so patiently. A movie star not on TV, but the cameras always follow me. Nah, a movie star not on TV. You know me before me. You know me before me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.